We continue today in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Gittin with lesson number 10, in which we will study the 6th and 7th Mishnah of the 3rd Perek of Gittin. Yesterday, in the 5th Mishnah, we learned the halacha about a shliach, a messenger, who brings a get, who delivers a divorce document in Eretz Yisrael from one town in the land of Israel to the other town, in which case he does not have to recite the formula b'fonai nichtav u'b'fonai nechtam. He does not have to testify before the Beis Din that he saw the writing and signing of that get. Therefore, if the shliach becomes ill or for some other reason cannot deliver the get, he may appoint another shliach in his stead, because the other shliach merely has to deliver the get to the woman and does not have to say b'fonai nichtav u'b'fonai nechtam, which in any case he can say because he was not there when the get was written and signed. In the next Mishnah, we will learn about hamevi get mimedinas hayom v'cholo. What about a shliach who brings a get from a distant country, from the south of France to Eretz Yisrael, in which case he must recite the formula b'fonai nichtav u'b'fonai nechtam v'cholo. And suppose this shliach, who witnessed the writing and signing of the get back in the Medina Sayam in the distant land, becomes ill and cannot continue the journey to the place in Eretz Yisrael where the woman, the wife, lives, and cannot simply ask someone else to deliver it for him, because that someone else, when he gets to Eretz Yisrael, will have to recite b'fonai nichtav u'b'fonai nechtam, but can't because he was not there at the time the get was written and signed. So therefore, what the first shliach must do, ill as he is oseh beis din u'mishalcho. He must stand before a beis din. For example, he started traveling from the south of France toward Eretz Yisrael. He reached Italy, and he is now sick, cannot continue. So he goes to the local Beis Din in Italy, in Venice, let's say, where for centuries there was an esteemed Beis Din. And the truth is, he doesn't need an esteemed Beis Din. He could take any three Jewish men, and they can constitute a Beis Din. But in any case, in front of that Beis Din, he now can send through that Beis Din another agent. In other words, that Beis Din can appoint another messenger to deliver the get. But the first shliach in front of the Beis Din must say the Omer lifnehem. He must say before the Beis Din b'fonai nichtav u'b'fonai nechtam. So now the Beis Din in Italy, in our example in Venice, hears that this first shliach indeed saw the get signed and written and signed. Now they can on that basis send another shliach, a second shliach, to Eretz Yisrael to deliver the get to the wife. V'yein ha-shliach ho-acharon sorich she-yomar b'fonai nichtav u'b'fonai nechtam. When the second shliach reaches Eretz Yisrael, where the woman lives, he does not have to say, and indeed cannot say, b'fonai nichtav u'b'fonai nechtam. Ela omer, all he must say is, shliach beis din ani. I am a shliach beis din. The Meiri adds that the beis din must give him some document which says, so-and-so-and-so-and-so is our shliach to deliver the get. And we can assume that they, the Beis Din, heard the first shliach testify b'fonai nichtav u'b'fonai nechtam. The Gemara focus is on the phrase V'ein HaShliach HaAcharon, the last shliach. It doesn't say the second shliach, but the last shliach. Because if the second shliach, for example, becomes sick, he too can appear before a Beis Din and say, this get was given to me by so-and-so, who in front of his Beis Din said, before I nechtam, now I'm sick here in Turkey and cannot continue my journey, but the document was given to me in front of a Beis Din in Italy, and now I'm further to closer to Eretz Yisrael in Turkey, and I can't do it, so I'm going to appoint a third shliach, and so on, a fourth shliach, a fifth shliach. You could do this on and on, as many shlichim as necessary, as long as each shliach does his transfer in front of the Beis Din. We continue now with Mishneh Zayin, which now is going back to the halacha which we learned about earlier, in earlier Mishnayos in this perek, namely, the Cheskas Chai, that if you left a person alive, and now some time has gone by, you can assume that he is still alive, as long as there are no circumstances to the contrary. With no circumstances suggesting or powerfully suggesting that he did die, you can assume that he still is alive. So this that concept continues to be applied in the following case. Hamalve mo'os es hakohen. If one lends money to a kohen, v'es halevi, or to a levi, or v'es ha'oni, to a poor person. Suppose I, for example, have some money, and I lend it to a Kohen. The Kohen is entitled to get Truma. He is entitled to get my Truma. So when I have Truma to give, what I can do is sell this Truma, not give it, but sell it to another Kohen who can pay for it. The other Kohen pays me money for it. I can only sell it to another Kohen, because no one who's not a Kohen is likely to buy Truma from me because he can't eat it. So I sell it to another Kohen who buys it from me. Now I have the cash. I can keep that cash on the assumption that the Kohen to whom I lent the money is still alive, and therefore the Truma which I had belongs to him, but he owes me money, so I'll sell the truma to another Kohen and keep the money, and the debt is now squared. Similarly, in the case of a levi, I have to give the levi ma'aser rishon, or an oni, a poor person. I must give this oni ma'aser oni, a tithe that belongs to the poor. In those cases, when it comes time for me to give the tithe to the Levi Ma'aser Rishon, or the tithe to the Oni Ma'aser Oni, I can take that Ma'aser Rishon or Ma'aser Oni and keep it for myself. I don't have to give it to anyone, because here, unlike Truma, I can eat Ma'aser Rishon. I can eat Ma'aser Oni as long as it belongs to me. And here it does belong to me, because the Levi in question, or the Ani in question, owes me money. So I can keep the Ma'aser Rishon as payment, or the Ma'aser Ani, as payment for the loan that I gave the Levi or the Ani. And I can assume that the Kohen in the first instance, the Levi, the Ani, are still alive, and therefore the Truma, or the Ma'aser Rishon, or the Ma'aser Ani, belongs to them, and since they owe me money, I can keep, in the case of the Truma, the money that I get for the Truma. The case of the Ma'aser Rishon and the Ma'aser Oni, I can actually keep the food itself. I can assume that they are alive. Interestingly, I can even assume that this Oni has not become rich, in which case he's no longer permitted to receive my Ma'aser Oni. I can assume that things are status quo. There is a chazoka, as the Mishnah says, Mafrish alehen mechelkon. I could be mafrish my truma from the portion that goes to this Kohen, I could be mafresh my maaser rishon or maaser oni from the portion that would go to this Levi or this oni. Mafresh aleihem bechatzka shehin kayomen. I can assume that they are alive. V'ein choshesh. I don't have to be concerned. Shemo meis hakohen. Maybe the kohen died and this truma can no longer go to him, but rather to other kohanim or to his yorshim. O HaLevi, or that the Levi has died. O HeEshir HeOni, or the Oni has become rich, in which case I must give Maaser Oni to a person who is now an Oni. Suppose, however, Mesu, suppose, indeed, the Kohen, I find out, the Kohen died, the Levi died, the Oni died, subsequent to having borrowed money from me, but prior to my setting aside the Truma or the Maaser Rishon or the Maaser Oni. And with that case, Sorech Litol Rishus Min HaYorshin, I have to get permission from the Yorshim, from the heirs, H-E-I-R-S, in order to be able to sell the Truma and keep the money, or keep the Maaser Rishon, or keep the Maaser Oni. In order to keep that as payment for my debt, I have to have permission from their Yorshim. Because it is quite possible that the Yorshim will want, they have to pay their father's debt, but they may want to pay it from some other source that they have. The son of the Kohen might say, I prefer the Truma, the farther money my father owes you. Well, he happened to have some money in the bank, I will send that to you in payment for the loan, etc. Im hilvon bifnei beisdin, if I, the lender, lent the money in the presence of a beisdin, and in the presence of the beisdin I said, I'm lending money to this Kohen, with the condition being that I can keep the truma that I would give to him for myself, sell it to another Kohen, and keep the money, or I will keep the Maaser Rishon that I owe to this Levi to whom I'm lending money, or to this Oni to whom I'm lending money, that I should be able to keep the Maaser Oni in payment for the loan. In that case, if the Kohen or the Levi or the Oni dies, Eino tzorich litol rishus min hayorshim. I do not have to get permission from his heirs. The reason being, says Rashi, because the Beis Din has the power to impose this debt, which is owed by Mr. Cohen to me. They can impose it upon the whole tribe of Kohanim. Or in the case of a Levi, they can impose that debt upon all Levim. In the case of the poor person, they can impose this debt upon the whole class of poor people. And the reason they have the power to do this is because it is to the benefit of the general class of Kohanim or Levim or Aniim for them to do that, so that people will be willing to lend them money. So therefore there's a takana made that will allow me to keep this truma. If I do it bifnei bezdin, lend it bifnei bezdin, I can keep this truma and sell it and keep the profits myself without worrying about the other kohanim who might be entitled to the truma. Because bezdin has, so to speak, waived their rights to that truma. Because in exchange for the willingness that I have and other lenders will have to lend them money when they need it. And so we have finished Mishnah Zayin and in the process completed lesson number 10.